if you're a little different than the song. Do you ever, is that where maybe Tell Me to My Face comes from? When someone has seen you and then read things into you before they've met you, then they turn around and that comes back around to you through other people. Is that where the desire to do that kind of song comes from? Tell me to my face that I'm not what you thought I'd be.
Well, I've never thought of that. I mean, you've read that into it. I've never considered that. I picked it because I liked the song, It's the Hollies, and it was just a good vehicle for me and Tim. I've never considered it close to me at all, that song. Mm-hmm. I don't even know what it says. I've seen the lyrics, but I don't know what they say, really.
Okay, well, then take one you wrote. Someone's been telling you stories.
Stories, yeah.
Okay, I mean, that's the same.
I've never blatantly come out and said to people that I'm not the person you think I am, but it is true. You can't project what a person is from music, you know, and when people start doing that with me, they have a tendency to do that a lot, and I really don't like that. I won't accept that responsibility of being that person they want me to be. I'm not that, you know. Who I am is who I am, and I'm comfortable with, and that's who I am. I'm probably a lot more callous and hard-sounding to people when they meet me, but that's because I'm also a music business person. You know, I know how to do this business very well at this stage, you know. I've always taken responsibility for myself. To do it, you know, and over the years you learn, and it's kind of changed a little bit. I'm not the quiet little sensitive guy I was 10 years ago. There's no way. I can't be. There's just too much after me.
Can you understand, though, that...
Oh, absolutely, absolutely, and I can empathize with it, but I can't sympathize with it, okay? I mean,
I'm just saying
ultimately people who do meet me face-to-face are probably disappointed. Not disappointed, that's not the right word. Disillusioned, I think, because I'm not going to be that person. They want to come with me and be my friend. Right? They've never met me before in my life. All they know is my music. That's fine. They get so much of me in that music that I don't feel I owe them anything else.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't. That's my privacy.
Carla Bonnock said a similar thing. She said that the nature of my songs is so personal that people walk up, they feel they know me already.
Right.
And they don't.
That's not true. That's just not true. You know, I know Carla, too, and I think she'd be a disillusioned if you met her, you know, those preconceptions about her. She's the same way. You can't do this business and be Mr. Nice Guy all the time. You can't be, you know, out there, you know, please come in, let's form a circle and let's all talk after a show. You know, I've done a 3-hour show. I'm exhausted. I want to get to bed. We've got to get to the next city. It's hard to give 100% all the time to people. You just can't do it. And for the road, you know, I hate the road so much anyway that I almost go into a cocoon with my own people out there, you know.
Who do you meet from just... And I don't mean just, but who do you meet from, you know, the millions of people who buy these records? And I'm not talking business people. Who do you run into? What really gets you?
The people that do it are wonderful people. And as I say, I wish I would have a more normal human being with them. But they're getting me in a bad situation, you know. And the people I meet are all wonderful. They're nice folks, you know. They're mature. They're not crazy. They respect what we do. I think they're very sensitive people. And they just want to get a little closer. And that's something I don't want to happen too much, you know? I wish I could. I wish I was a little more gregarious, a little more outgoing in that way.
When you have to have, I mean, as you say, at least something of a shell to protect yourself from just becoming scrambled eggs.
That's a good title for a song, by the way.
Thank you, yes. Paul thought so. We're talking with Dan Fogelberg. When you have to have that kind of hard shell, at least at times, there have got to be, and I know there are, on many of your albums, songs that reflect, hey, I'm not such a weeping willow. I've got a spine here, you know. Is there a song of that nature that you'd particularly like to get out there, and maybe that would represent that?
Gosh, I don't know. You brought up stories. See, it's hard for me to think of my own music because I hardly ever listen to it anymore, you know. I mean, when I finish The Innocent Age, I may listen to it for the mastering, right, to see how it's good or bad it sounds, but I don't really listen to my own music, so that's hard to answer. Gosh, you know, Stories is pretty tough in its stance. Phoenix says, no more of this. I'm not that anymore. I can stand up and fight, take it on the chin too, you know. That's what that's about. Life isn't all that sad. You know, I'm a happy person.
this song.
That's where I put that. See? If you knew me real well, nobody thinks of me as morose or sad. Mm-hmm. I'm not that type of person. You know, I love to laugh. That's my main thing. I love abusing the English language. I love being with people, with my friends, having a good time. That's what I do most of the time. But the outlet for my sorrow that I do feel deeply and for the pain is the songs. That's where it goes, you know? Or maybe I do that too much. I don't know. Sometimes I think I do, you know? I know Henley has a real hang-up now with getting a sense of humor across on record. And I think of that too sometimes, because I think there's some very funny things in my record, but no one gets them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's some wonderful puns and stuff on the records, but they're so inbred that no one will get them. You know? But,
well, you don't exactly pose underwater like Joe Walsh.
Yeah, right. That's true. I do take myself a little seriously on the records, but that's what they're meant to be serious. The records are a very serious expression of art for me, and I don't take them lightly at all. But the rest of my life, I don't take that seriously, you know?
It's obvious that you don't take what you're saying lightly. And there have been a lot lesser lyric philosophers in the pop world. In fact, annoyingly, there's a lot of dime store philosophy coming out. So it's particularly risky. It strikes me as particularly risky to try to really say something large. But when you're coming up with stuff like this, the future's never coming and the past has never been.
Yeah, I like that line.
That must have been...
That's a chilling one, boy.
Where does that come from?
I don't know.
People want to know. I mean, you know.
Somewhere. I can't explain. I don't know. I was blessed with a gift. It's a gift and a curse, you know. Like I say, it never ends. It never stops, you know. You're always digging and digging. Someplace down there, and I feel it right down in my stomach when I really get there, I'm in touch with something. I don't know where it is. I believe in God. But not in any rational, theological scope. I can't do that. I can't find that. That's just too easy. But there's something in it that's overriding all of this. There's an energy that, like everything else, comes into being, becomes, and decays. And that's almost like the way I approach songwriting now, you know. It's that moment of ultimate creation, you know. It's not really me. I'm a voice. But I'm also in control of the voice. So it's, I don't know. That's real tough. I thought about that a lot, and I still don't know.
It's when you say something that to you and obviously to many other people has meaning, it perhaps that's why we miss the humor sometimes. Because it sounds negative, but if you really listen to it, the future is never coming and the past has never been. You could just... On the surface.
Oh, you can look at it very fatalistically, sure.
Right.
But it's not meant to be that way, I don't think. I think it's saying, all it's saying is that now is the only thing that exists. It's tough to accept, and it's hard to live like that. But, you know, there's a lot of things you can take many ways on the record. Netherlands, the song especially. You know, that one I'm still kind of wrestling with what I meant. There's things in that I don't even understand. And those sometimes are the best things you write, you know. When you may write them, and 10 years later, you may become clear about what you said. You know, a lot of people really miss the intent of the last verse of Netherlands, where it talks about the forked road and existence and denial. And it says that one road is, I don't remember how I said it, but simple acceptance of life, the other road offers sweet peace. Well, a lot of people misinterpreted that as acceptance of life. And how did that go? Because I've had some, a lot of people.
I don't
acceptance of life was just taking as it comes, right? And sweet peace means to going to a higher spiritual level and living, right? It's not at all what I meant. Ultimately, there's only two choices in life and death. You wake up every day. You're going to go again today, or you're going to slit your wrist today. Is this the one, or is this not the one? Ultimately, that's the only choice you have. Every other choice you make in your life stems from that one basic choice, whether you accept or deny life. And so that, you know, that I don't even think I really understood when I wrote it, because that was a very visionary thing.
Artists' experience in digging as deep as they do, and in, as you said before, some of the taxing nature of recording itself, trying to put it and package it just right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, artists, notoriously, through history...
They're all wacko.
...experience the kinds of elation and depression that
you
just don't...
That's what Netherlands is about, too, is black and white. I mean, the cover is all yin-yang with that photograph. I mean, that's the whole concept of that record. There's an old Buddhist thing that said when you're just about to the edge of enlightenment, you see things in exact opposites. That's what the yin-yang philosophy is, et cetera, et cetera. And that's what that whole record was about. You know, and it was funny because right when I did that, when I was coming through this horrible writer's drought in 75, it's the only one I've ever had, and things got pretty tense up there on the mountain, folks. But the night it all broke was Loose Ends. right? And then all of a sudden, there was all these opposites before me. And that's what the whole thing, I mean, look at it, promises made, promises broken, right? Immediately opposites to the whole thing. I love that record. I really do. I think it's, conceptually and philosophically, I think it's the best thing I've done, without a doubt. Lyrically, I think this one's better. I think The Innocent Age is better lyrically, because it's crafted better. But as far as really saying something way down in there, Netherlands is what it says.
We're talking with Dan Fogelberg. We're going to hear Netherlands now, and we'll be back to talk some more.
Thank you.
back with Dan Fogelberg. That's Netherlands, and Yin Yang might very well fit that in terms of...
Somebody just pointed out recently to me the cover was like that. I hadn't thought about it. It must have been unconscious, but it's true, because you got one half of the face totally dark, one half of the face totally light. And then the other, the back cover, again, is dawn and dark, right? So there's a lot of that in there.
I still get the feeling, listening to your music alone, and I would guess anybody who does radio also experiences this, that when you're speaking into this microphone, or when we're in a recording studio, or writing a song, that you're really speaking not to any plurality, but to one imaginary person.
Yeah, always. Always. As a communicator, Eric Anderson said this to me once, and Eric has a wonderful mind, Eric does. And this was back in about 72 or something, when I was working on his album down in Nashville, when I was doing sessions and stuff. And Eric, one night, we were preloaded. He said something to me that I've never forgotten. He says, man, ultimately, you write the song, and one other person's going to hear it, and that's all. And if you can get it, I've said this before in the interview, if you can get it from the way you wrote it to one person hearing it and feeling it, then you succeeded. That's the ultimate success for an artist. It is. With painting, with anything.